Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It is Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. And today we're talking about mega engineering projects, especially those that are related to dams, to seas, drain the sea. We human beings can do all we set our minds to. In case you're wondering, why is he talking about this? If you're new to the podcast, Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics and theology, all things related to the Catholic faith. But on Friday, I just want to have fun. I just want to talk about whatever, and it's fun to share that with you. So that's why we have Free for All Fridays here on the podcast. And today we are talking about these wonderful mega projects. Set human beings, their mindset. Maybe we should build a tower to heaven to reach our deity. What could possibly go wrong with that, right? We shall make a name for ourselves, as it says in the book of Genesis related to the Tower of Babel. So what I'm talking about are these mega engineering projects that were ultimately abandoned, and all of them relate to similar themes related to dams, controlling large bodies of water, because this is where you can make really big changes to literally to the face of the earth without a lot of work, because you can let Mother Nature do that for you with water pressure. So let's talk about these different projects. One is the Sahara Sea. And the Sahara Sea is something that has been proposed since the late 19th century. And the idea is that, well, hey, the Sahara Desert, it's dry, it's hot, hardly anyone lives there. Maybe we could change it to make it an oasis in the desert. There's actually a documentary I saw about a marathon every year that takes place in the Sahara. It's one of those mega marathons. People run like hundreds of miles through the Sahara Desert. People die doing this. Also, they get lost or they die from heat stroke. It's insane. Because the Sahara is an absolutely insane place. It's cool to look at in documentaries, but not on my top 10 to visit. But what if you could turn it into an oasis? So in 1877, Donald Mackenzie, a British engineer, first proposed the Sahara Sea. He wanted to turn the El Jouf Basin into the Sahara Sea. It's a basin that stretches from Mauritania to northwestern Mali. And obviously, you know where those countries are, right? Because you watched Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego as a kid. You remember Where in the World is Carmen? Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? I played the computer game in the seventh grade in the library. They had SimCity 2000, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. I played Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego all the time. That's how I learned geography. Who needs books, right? And I remember the TV show. It was a game show with kids. I always wanted to get on it as a kid. And the winner at the end had this bonus round where he had to go and place these spinning lights on countries on the ground, like you would call it a country. You know, so where is Dominican Republic? Mongolia? And you would go and you set the light on it. And there's different continents you would get. North America, South America, Europe. But the hardest one was Africa, the Africa map. And you can see on YouTube kids who get the Africa map. It's like, way to go, buddy. So I'm sure you know where Mauritania, northwestern Mali is up in the Sahara. It is a basin in there that if you filled it up, if you ran a canal over to Morocco, it would create an inland sea that's about 60,000 square miles. But the problem with this proposal, and we'll see with other proposals, is that even if you do that, it's not going to change the climate of the Sahara. It's not suddenly going to become 70 degrees temperate year round to be by this oasis. It's still going to be a hot and dry place that doesn't get rain. Maybe you'll get a little bit of different rain from evaporation from creating a 60,000 square mile sea, but not that much to offset it. And you're going to get a lot more problems along the way. It'll be fun at first, but then it quickly spirals out of control. So the idea was proposed on again, off again. There was a French engineer in 1910 that pursued it. The French investigated, said it would cost maybe $30 million, and they sent surveyors to the area to create the Sahara Sea. The problem was there was a lot of areas of the basin that were not below sea level, so it wouldn't actually flood uniformly, and so it probably wouldn't work. But that hasn't stopped people, because a similar idea took form in the 1930s and 40s called Atlantropa. And this is the idea of creating one mega supercontinent that would unite Europe and Africa. And so the Europeans wanted to grow in industrial power, seeing the rise of Far Eastern Asian countries and, you know, Soviet Union, and also, of course, the United States. And they needed more resources to be able to do that. So they wanted to be able to extend that to colonies, British colonies and the like in Africa. And so, like, okay, well, how do we unite Europe and Africa? Because it's actually kind of difficult to get there. If you think about it, there's no roads. You have to take a ferry across Morocco or ships. You can go overland route through Israel and Egypt. But the idea was, well, what if we drained the Mediterranean through a series of dams? Not drain the whole thing, but drain it a significant amount. And that is interesting. You've got the Mediterranean Sea there, right? And it's basically blocked in by the Black Sea in the east over by Greece. You got a little connection there. But to get to the Atlantic Ocean, there's just this narrow little channel called the Strait of Gibraltar. I believe in the ancient world, so this is between Spain and Morocco, the Strait of Gibraltar. And I think in the ancient world, this was called the Pillars of Hercules, that they knew, like, oh, this is like the end of the earth right here, the Strait of Gibraltar. And so you got this very short, just maybe a few dozen miles, maybe less than 2 dozen miles between Morocco and Spain. And there have been constant discussions about building a bridge, but it probably isn't that feasible. Another one is a tunnel that would go under Morocco to Spain. The problem is that it's really, well, they were hampered at building a tunnel between Morocco and Spain because the rocks were very hard. When this was proposed decades ago, they didn't have the drilling technology for it. Now they have the drilling technology, but the area where they would make the tunnel is way too deep. It would be like 3,000 feet down. And the deepest subterranean tunnels we have now for travel, I think they have some in Norway going to like 1,200 feet. But it's still something people have always wanted to be able to do. So the idea is, okay, well, what if we made a giant mega dam in across the Strait of Gibraltar? And then you dammed it up there, dammed it up by, you know, where the Suez Canal is, the Black Sea. And you turn the Mediterranean Sea into a lake. So it's not like just trying to flood the Sahara. Although you could, if you did this, you could reroute water and try to, this is part of the plan, also drain the Mediterranean. You dam it up between Morocco and Spain, basically. You drain off some of the water into the Sahara. But if you dam it up and it doesn't keep getting water from the Atlantic Ocean, evaporation will take place over time and the Mediterranean Sea will lower. And so if you look at a map of Atlantropa and the idea of what they want to do, especially as the sea lowers, the island of Sicily, so that's the one that Italy's like the boot is kicking it, more of the island would be exposed, and enough of it could be exposed to create a land bridge, or sorry, create a bridge from Tunisia in Africa to Sicily, then to Italy. You'd have the connection across the Strait of Gibraltar. You'd have a lot more ways to be able to connect Europe and Africa to be able to do this, all right? So, and this was proposed by a German architect, Hermann Sorgel, and then he died in 1952. His dream died with him, though a lot of the things why Atlantropa never took off the ground was the idea that you'd have to have all the post-World War I countries cooperate with one another, and that wasn't going to happen. They also wanted to create Atlantropa to the dam across the Strait of Gibraltar. It was going to create tons of cheap electricity through hydroelectricity. But then people in the 1950s soured on that idea because they wanted to go with nuclear instead. And then later people didn't want nuclear because of Chernobyl, though France still has 70% of their power comes from nuclear. Good on the French for that. Germany, they're really going into trouble now because they turned down their nuclear. And now with the war between Russia and Ukraine, they're having a hard time getting all that Russian natural gas that they rely on. So that was Atlantropa, the dream of uniting Africa and Europe dashed against the rocks. Oh, here's the other thing. Similar to the Sahara Sea, why all these plans fail. Creating giant man-made lakes is usually a bad idea. And the example to show that would be the Salton Sea in California. So decades ago, there's some kind of an accident. It was with a canal or something like that with the Colorado River. And because of that, the river ended up filling in a basin in Southern California that ended up creating the largest lake in California, largest inland body of water. That would be the Salton Sea. It's just a few miles outside of San Diego in the desert there. And back in like the 50s and 60s, this was a resort complex. You had this wonderful freshwater sea, from that had just developed at overnight, basically, in Southern California. And you had people going there to vacation, to fish, to water ski, and this whole resort complex arose. The problem is that this is not a natural lake. So it doesn't have a continually renewing source of fresh water going into it. It was created by accident. And so over time, evaporation removes the fresh water from the lake and increases the salinity, the salt content of the lake. And so it gets saltier and saltier so that it ends up being like the Dead Sea. Now you go to Salton Sea, all the resort stuff is closed down. It reeks to high heaven. It is incredibly salty. The fish have died. The birds have died. It's basically the Salton Sea is like this post-apocalyptic wasteland where eccentric characters go to build weird trash sculptures and live out in the middle of the desert away from the government. Government ain't going to get my trash. So I've always wanted to go, by the way. So maybe for future Free For All Friday, I'll report live from the Salton Sea, and that will be my horror episode of Salton Sea, the last transmission you ever get to me. But if they did this with Atlantropa or the Sahara Sea, that's ultimately what would happen. And another reason they didn't want to do Sahara Sea was if you build this giant freshwater lake in the Sahara, it's just going to evaporate. It's going to become salty. It's just going to be a place for disease, and it's going to end up very poorly. All right, and then here is the next project related to massive dams. I like it because I just like the name. The name sounds like an apocalyptic bad idea, and it's just the Reber Plan. We should activate the Reber Plan. Are you sure we should do that, sir? Not to be confused with the Redeker Plan. That's from World War Z, a wonderful book about the zombie apocalypse that was turned into a terrible adaptation starring Brad Pitt. I should do that for another Free For All Friday. But the Reber Plan is real. And this is a plan from the 1940s to fill in parts of the San Francisco Bay with freshwater lakes. And it was developed by John Reber, an actor, theater producer, and school teacher. So the man was not an engineer, but he was a really good salesperson. And he would go all over San Francisco and say that the San Francisco Bay is a geological mistake, that what we really need is to build two giant dams. And the dams would be located right now where the Oakland Bay Bridge and the Richmond Bridges are. And that if you put these dams in here, it would shrink the bay so that what is now the South San Francisco Bay and then the part of the bay to the north and the south that connects to the ocean now would become large freshwater lakes, basically. And you could use that to get hydroelectric power. You could use the dams as causeways. He had proposed, imagined a 36-lane highway and rail causeway to get you. Because even back in the 40s, people complained, how do you get from Oakland to San Francisco? You got this bridge. There's always a lot of traffic. It's hard to get over there. What if we just had these giant dams? And so Reber proposes. He had an engineer working with him. And this was the Reber Plan. And they did get a lot of traction. So in 1953, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was tasked with studying the Reber Plan. Could it work? Now, they didn't have computers that were sophisticated enough to create models to see if this was a good idea or not. So what did they do? Well, the Army Corps of Engineers in 1953 built a scale model of the entire San Francisco Bay Area. They built a wonderful scale model that they were able to flood and dam and document what would happen if the Reber Plan was put into effect. And so it was this massive undertaking to create this huge scale model. There's a wonderful Tom Scott video. He's the British guy in a red shirt who goes to fun places on YouTube, where he visits the model of San Francisco Bay to see if the Reber Plan was a good idea. And the Corps of Engineers did it and realized, no, this is a terrible idea, that the dams, I think they said the dam's structural stability would have been compromised. It would have caused a lot of environmental damage. So the Reber Plan was scratched. And the only thing that's left over from it that's really interesting is the huge model that was created. Now we do all that stuff on computers, but it's cool to see it done in an analog way. Finally, creating these giant lakes, it's still on the table. Some people still want to do this. There is a proposal back in 2007 to dam the Red Sea, because there's a very small strait at the edge of the Red Sea where you could, in theory, put a mega dam in there that would create, make the Red Sea enclosed off from the Indian Ocean. And so this was studied back in 2007. The idea is that a dam that was created there would make 50 gigawatts of power. That the largest nuclear plant in the U.S. only does 3.2 gigawatts. However, studies of the project showed that there would be irreversible and far-reaching, both in terms of regional as well as environmental impacts. So they were talking about how this would create problems with the sea levels rising, because if the ocean no longer flows in the Red Sea because of this dam, it said over the course of 50 years, sea levels would rise by 4.7 inches, and 3 years would rise by in 300 years, sea levels would rise by a foot more than usual because the ocean can't go into the Red Sea. But they said, well, but the dam will cut down on CO2 and will offset that. Once again, you're so busy wondering if you could do it, you didn't stop to think if you should. Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park. So those are our mega engineering projects. Fascinating. The Sahara Sea, Atlantropa, the Reber Plan, and for a little bonus here, people are still talking about damming the Red Sea. I hope you enjoyed all of that, learned something new today, and yeah, I just hope that you all have a very blessed weekend.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.